Morning. It's good to be able to come together this morning to worship God. We have those with us this morning that have been out for a little while, and we're glad that you're back. Prayers have been answered, and it's certainly good to see you. And for those who are out of town, let's remember them and keep them in mind in our prayers as well. Some of you have been asking about my father, and I appreciate that. He will be, Lord willing, later this week moving to California, which is a big change for him. To live with my brother and his family, so please keep them in mind in your prayers as they make that transition. The theme of our lesson this morning is what we just sang about, none of self and all of Jesus Christ. That's a big challenge, but it's something that we must have in our life so that we can go to heaven. Lately on TV, I've been seeing the commercial that's been running a lot, from the Dollar Shave Club. Maybe you've seen this commercial that shows a number of different men standing in a bathroom setting shaving. And I would say that the ad campaign that came up with this, I would say that they were extremely brilliant in doing what they did. I didn't say right or good, I said brilliant. Because what they did was they took a product, they're trying to sell razors. They took a product and behind it they dropped a song that plays in the background that appeals to one's egocentric self. I would say it's brilliant. Because it shows men shaving to the song, I've Got to Be Me. And if you think about it, brethren and friends, that's really the culture that we're living in. You be you. You be what you want to be. Don't let anybody else tell you what to be. I believe it's brilliant in that it appeals to the very thing that society is pushing today. And as we're going to see, it's not just our modern day society. It goes all the way back to Adam and Eve. There's a short 30-second commercial that runs on TV. And then they have a bigger one, a larger one, that runs for 3 minutes and 40 seconds, and you can see it on YouTube. On the longer version of the commercial, there is one transgender or drag queen shown, and he's given a speaking part, as well as two men bathing completely naked together in a bathtub. All to the line, I've Got to Be Me. Now, obviously, in this commercial, there's some things there that are fine and right, no problems. But they're mixing in also this other. This song, I've Got to Be Me, is not new. It actually goes back to 1967 to a Broadway musical that played then. And then the next year, Sammy Davis Jr. in 1968 recorded it and made it very popular. The lyrics of this song, as you're going to see, that run in the background, and of course if you watch the longer one, the 3 minute plus one, the whole song runs. The lyrics are very damaging without using any four-letter words or cuss words or profanity like modern-day music. It's a message that is probably subtle but yet very effective. We're going to talk this morning about this statement, I've got to be me. And I ask, really? Is that really what we're about? Where we get up each day, men and women, young and old, and our young people here this week, and I've just got to be me. I don't need to worry about anybody else. I don't need to be bothered by anybody else. I'm just going to live my life the way I want it lived. Well, somebody might hear me this morning and say, well, Chris, you're being overly critical. It's just a commercial and you're reading too much into it. And I would ask, is that really the case when you consider how much we are influenced by movies and music and videos and other things. We are affected by that, brother. Music alters people's minds, the lyrics of that. And movies do the same, and videos and other kinds of things. People really are affected by these things. It's real. And so, I believe it's brilliant. They're just simply selling a product, but in the background, there's that constant message, I've got to be me, I've got to be me, I've got to be me. Consider the lyrics of this song. In the first verse, and by the way, this is the music is catchy. It sounds like an old Frank Sinatra song. It's a slower ballad. The guy's belting it out, and I'm almost tempted to belt out a verse. I mean, I like the way it sounds. But pay attention to the lyrics. Commercial opens up, song opens up. Whether I'm right or whether I'm wrong, whether I find a place in this world or never belong, I've got to be me. I've got to be me. What else can I be but what I am? Look at that, brethren. Whether I'm right or wrong, I could be flat wrong, but as long as I'm me, it's okay. Do you know that this is the type of thing that is being pushed in our society today? And when the commercial's over with, whether consciously or subconsciously, that's what's being drilled in our minds. Really? Whether I'm just flat wrong, it's okay to be me? Well, that's what they're saying. You know, sometimes we think that music and the lyrics of music that cause a problem, we think modern music. You know, rock and roll or rap or something that's got bad words in it. This is a very old song. There's not a bad word in it. But the ideology is straight from the devil, as we're going to see in a minute. Look at this second thing. What else can I be but what I am? We're going to find out what else we can be this morning. We're supposed to be something else. But what else can I be? You know? Let me ask you, ladies, does this work with you? Wives, does this work with you? You know, you've got a husband that's just beating all over you. And he says, well, yeah, I just got to be me, honey. Does that work? Your spouse is constantly unfaithful, just constantly out, going out with other, comes home, I just got to be me. Does that work? You know what's interesting about this kind of stuff is it doesn't even work. We don't even think this way in our normal lives often. But we'll put it on a commercial and all of a sudden, you know, this is the best thing that's out there. Let's look at the second verse. I want to live, not merely survive. And I won't give up this dream of life that keeps me alive. I got to be me. I got to be me. Now look at this. The dream that I see makes me what I am. What makes you what you are this morning? A dream? Some dream that you have in life? What defines you? What defines your character? And we're going to see what that dream is in the next verse. It's a dream of just worldly things. But the dream that I see makes me what I am. No. With a lot of people in this world, maybe. But we're going to see from the Scripture this morning that what defines us and who defines us should be God and His Word. Not some dream I'm chasing of fitting in with others and that type of thing. Every verse of this song rings with egocentricity. You be what you want, what you feel, and what you think. And that's why we're in the messed up world that we're in. And again, somebody might say, well, it's just meant to be a cute commercial. After all, the Dollar Shave Club has been known for, in the past, making funny and silly commercials. And some of them in the past have been just that, nothing more. But this is an ideology. And to throw in the transgender drag queen and the two men bathing in the tub together is meant for a purpose. That's to slowly get you on board with things that are going on in our society. And then you're hearing in the background, I've just got to be me. And you're, well, okay, let the two guys be who they want to be. Let's look at the next. The bridge in between the second and third verse. Here's what's defining that faraway prize. A world of success is waiting for me if I heed the call. I won't settle down, won't settle for less, as long as there's a chance that I can have it all. So it's just based upon this world and the things of this world and money and fame and power and prestige. That's what I'm chasing. And just before it, he had said, that's what defines me. The dream that I see makes me who I am. Well, what is that? That faraway prize, a world of success. That's what makes me who I am. Just worldly success. Okay. No God. No scripture. Nothing like that. And then the last verse. I'll go it alone. That's how it must be. Look at this. I can't be right for somebody else if I'm not right for me. Break that down. I can't be right for somebody else. I can't have somebody else tell me how to live my life. And that includes God. I can't be right for somebody else if it's not right for me. So God, if you're telling me some things and it's not right for me, then I'm just not going to do that. You see how dangerous that is? Yeah, it's cute and it's funny and it sells razors. But what's happening in our society is that moral and ethical things are being turned up on its head because of this very ideology. We are aborting thousands and thousands of babies because of this ideology. And transgender and homosexual and other kinds of things, because I just need to be who I need to be. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 3. Brethren and friends, this is not something new. The devil has been doing this from the very beginning of time. Have you ever noticed in the very first account of the sin of Adam and Eve how much that the devil played on this very idea of you? You can be what you want and what you feel and what you think. Just be you. Be who you want to be. Look at Genesis chapter 3, when the devil lies in verse 4, you shall not surely die. God had said that if you eat of this fruit, you will die. The devil lies and says, you shall not surely die. Look at verse 5. For God does know that in the day that you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened and you shall be as God, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and she gave also unto her husband. You will have this, and this is what you will get. Hey, I like that. I like hearing you. I like hearing that. You see, and it worked. There may have been some other things in there that appealed to her, such as being like God and what is it like to disobey? It's kind of like when you tell your children, don't do something, and that's the thing that they're thinking about. I want to try that. There could have been some other things there that appealed to her, but I believe the comment about you definitely appealed. And so this morning, brethren and friends, I want us to think about this very thing. It's everywhere. And we're seeing it in what is supposedly a harmless commercial, but we're seeing it everywhere. The problem of self. Look at Judges 21 and verse 25. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And when you read the book of Judges, there's a story there about rape. And there's a story there about gross idolatry and immorality. And the book closes with every man did that which is right in his own eyes. That's basically saying the same thing as, I gotta be me. Can you imagine the men of the city that raped that girl at the doorpost of her house? I gotta be me. Does that work? It's everywhere. In Proverbs 14:12 and Proverbs 16:25, there is a way in man that seemeth right, but the end thereof are the ways of death. There's a way in us that seems right, but we're not to follow our own what we think and what we feel. The end of that way is death. And Jeremiah 10:23, that we're very familiar with, it is not in man that walks to direct his own steps. What are we supposed to do? What was the scripture reading this morning in Luke 9:23? What's the solution to this? To deny ourselves. Each day that we get up, there's going to be things where we have to make choices on how we think and how we feel and how we act. Is it, I've got to be me? Or is it, I'm going to be guided by God and His Word? We're going to have to make some choices. And we've got to deny that first impulse of self. As hard as that is. None of self in all of thee. That's a tall order. But number one, it can be done. And number two, it must be done in order to go to heaven. But what we're hearing today is don't deny anything. Keep it all and then accentuate it. Just be yourself. The solution that Jesus says is to deny ourselves. The solution that Paul says in Romans 6 and verse 6 is, he says, the old self was crucified. The old self was crucified. And then later in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 22, he says, lay aside the old self. Lay it aside. We're hearing today, no. Keep it around and accentuate it. The other thing that we're seeing today is, and it's unfortunate, but things that were once kept private in the privacy of your home, they're plastered everywhere, all over the TV. Hardly anything is private anymore. Bathing? That's not even private anymore. Nothing's private anymore. And everybody's fine with it. And then on top of that, just be who you want to be. So this morning, I would like for us to ask the question then, who am I supposed to be? If I'm not supposed to be me, if I'm not supposed to serve self, then who am I supposed to be? Let's look at that. First of all, when we get up each day, we need to be saying, I've got to be God. I'm a child of God. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 5. Let's look at some New Testament passages. When I get up each day and I'm going to school and I'm going to work, I'm going to have to make some choices. My thinking, my speaking, my actions. I need to get up and say, you know, today I'm going to be God-like because I'm a child of God and I'm supposed to act like my Father. As we go down through these passages this morning, I want you to notice something if you're taking notes. There's several of these passages that we're going to look at this morning where we're going to read the passage that tells us that we need to be like God or Christ or the Holy Spirit. But I want you to notice something in your Bible, on several of these Bible passages, where above it or below it, something will be mentioned where we could say, well, that's what I want to be. And that's what the world often is. And the person is saying, don't be like that. Notice that as we go down through these things this morning. Look with me at Matthew chapter 5. Jeff spoke about this recently in a very good lesson about loving your enemy. In Matthew chapter 5, how are we supposed to deal with our enemies? Some were being told, love your neighbor, but hate your enemy. Verse 43. And Jesus says, no, you need to be like your God who is in, like God who is in heaven, like your Father, that you may be sons of your Father. You need to love your enemies, verse 44, that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. We're supposed to act like our Father. Let me ask you this. Do you look like your physical father and mother? We look like them. We act like them. And so with regard to enemies, we're to be like our Heavenly Father because we're sons of our Father. We're to reflect how He would act. How is that? We are to love our enemies. Look at verse 48. You shall be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Be like God on this matter. Now look at it. What if I just said, well, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to hate my enemy because I got to be me. That's how I treat enemies. I hate them. And so I've just got to be me. No. That may be a temptation. That may be what the world does. That may be something that tempts. But you don't do that. I don't do that. We're not going to do that because we're going to be like our Heavenly Father. We're going to be different. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 24. When we get up each day, if we're not supposed to be me, who are we supposed to be? We're supposed to be God-like in our demeanor. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Paul has been talking about, starting in verse 17, how that we're not going to live that worldly life that we once lived. He calls it the walk of the Gentiles. And he says to stop that and put that all away. And then he comes down to verse 20. You did not so learn Christ, if so be that you heard Him and were taught in Him, even as truth as in Jesus, that you put away as concerning your former manner of life. That's the me, that's the self, the old man that waxes or grows corrupt after the lust of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new man, look at it, that after God has been created in righteousness and holiness of truth. Look at chapter 5 and verse 1. Be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love, even as Christ also loved you and gave Himself up for us. Be God-like. Now, look at the verses in between chapter 4 and verse 24 and chapter 5 and verse 1. Some things that are to be put off. And look at that in the context of what we're talking about this morning. What if I said, well, I gotta be me. Look at verse 25. Put away falsehood or lying. Well, you know, I just gotta be me. I'm a liar. And so I just gotta be me. Look at verse 26. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Well, I just gotta be me. I'm an angry person and that's just the way I'm going to be. Look at verse 28. Let him that stole steal no more. I'm just a thief. I'm a kleptomaniac. Every time I walk by something, I want to grab it and steal it. That's just who I am. That's what the world is saying, brethren. That's what the world is saying. That's what they're trying to pawn off on us. Just be who you are. And if this is behavior that you normally do, then be that way. And Paul is saying, no, no. Stop that and be like God. Look at verse 29. Let no corrupt speech proceed out of your mouth. I've just got a potty mouth. You know, I've just got a foul mouth. That's just who I am. I've always been like that. And I'm just going to be that way. No. Look at verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and railing be put away from you. Well, I've just got to be me. And I'm a bitter, angry, wrathful person. And so I'm just going to stay that way. No, no, Paul says. Put that away and be like God. Be imitators of God. Why? Look at verse 1 of chapter 5. As beloved children, we're supposed to act like our Father, not like the world or what we want to be. So when we get up each day, we say, not I've got to be me, but I've got to be God-like. Turns me to 1 John chapter 3 and verse 9. Get away, none of self in all of thee. Our world is preaching all of self and none of Jesus. That's what the world is preaching. But it's none of self and all of thee. Look at 1 John 3 where John talks about this habitual sinning. There were those in John's day who taught that evil and sin is inherent in you and you're born with it. And so when you get older, you're just going to sin all the time. It's just a part of your nature. The key to understanding this passage is continual sinning. John is not talking about a one-time sin here or there, but just continual sinning. The Christian is not going to do that. Look at 1 John 3 and verse 7. My little children, let no man lead you astray. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that doeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. To this end the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Now look at it. Whosoever is begotten of God, and that's when we're born again of the water and the Spirit, baptism, obeying the words of the Holy Spirit, we're begotten again, we're born of God, we're children of God, we reflect the nature of our Father, doeth no sin. Some versions say, do not practice sin or do not go on sinning. We're not going to have this continual sinning in our life because we've been begotten of God. Look at this. Because His seed abides in Him. That's what is controlling us each day. The seed of God. Not me getting up saying, well, I've got to be me. But the seed of God is abiding in me every day. That's why daily Bible reading is so important. I'm going to do what God wants me to do today. Look at chapter 4, verses 15 and 16, with regard to loving our brethren. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him. That needs to be us each day. We get up and God is in us, controlling us. We're being like Him. God abides in Him, and He in God. And we know and have believed the love which God has in us. God is love, and he that abideth in love abideth in God, and God abideth in him. Every day we get up, God is controlling us. Is that the way it is with you or with me? There will be those times when we say, well, just this one time, I've got to be me. Resist that and say no to that. And say, what would God have me to do in this situation? And do what God wants. You know, when we get up each day, we need to say, I've got to be Jesus. Paul says in Romans chapter 8 and verse 29 that we are to be conformed to the image of His Son. Conformed to what Jesus would say and Jesus would do. Look with me at Romans 13 and verse 14. Here's another one of those examples of being like Jesus instead of being like me and the world and what I want. Look at Romans 13 and verse 14. Let us walk becomingly as in the day, not in reveling and drunkenness. Those are two things associated with alcohol. Not in chambering and wantonness. Those are two things associated with sexual sin outside of marriage. Not in strife and jealousy. Those are two things associated with a bad attitude toward the things of others. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. He is going to dictate how I act today. Can I say, verse 13, well, I've got to be me, and I just drink. I got to be me. And with regard to sexual sin outside of marriage, can I say, well, I that's just me. You know, I'm in somebody else's bed. That's the old English word, chambering there, the bed. Sexual activity in a bed. Well, that's just me. I'm always in somebody else's bed. I've got to be me. Or I'm always envious and jealous and have strife. That's just me. No, no. Stop that and put on Jesus. He dictates us each day. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 18. As we read the new covenant, Paul says that we are to be transformed unto His image. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, and the context here is Jesus, are transformed unto the same image from glory, that's when we become a Christian, to glory. That's when we find ourselves in heaven one day. But we are transformed into the same image. I am to be Christ-like today. That's who I am going to be. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 17. Ephesians 3, 17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. When I'm out on a date, it's not, I've got to be me. It's, I've got to be Jesus. When I'm sitting in the classroom and I'm tempted to cheat, it's not, I've got to be me. It's, I've got to be Jesus. And when I'm at work and with my neighbors and with my brethren and everywhere, it's got to be Jesus. And we will be who God wants us to be. This other is a lie of the devil. Popularized in 1968 by Sammy Davis Jr. and a bunch of other people before and after him. Be who you want to be. That's what we're hearing in the world today. And it's not what God wants. Look at Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5. Paul is combating division here. He's combating discord and not being unified and not being of one mind. And what example does he give in Philippians 2:5? Have this mind, the New American Standard says attitude, have this mind or attitude in you, which was in Jesus. Jesus' attitude needs to be in us. That's what dictates us every day. Well, what is that? Back up to verse 2 and 3. The attitude of selflessness and serving others. And so, verse 2, having the same love, be of one accord, of one mind, doing nothing through faction or division or through vain glory. That's what's appealing to our vanity, our senseless pride and ego. But in lowliness of mind, each counting other better than himself, not looking each of you to his own things. That's selfishness. But each of you also to the things of others. Have this mind in you which was also in Christ. We have to have in us the very thing that was in Christ. Well, what is that, Paul? Start reading in verse 6 and following. The selfless attitude of coming to the earth and dying on the cross for us. We're not going to have the faction or the vainglory or thinking that we're better than others. We're going to have Christ in us. Turn with me to Colossians 1 and verse 21. That's who I'm supposed to be each day. Ignore the lie. Be who you want to be. Ignore that. And be God. Be Jesus Christ. In Colossians chapter 1, Paul goes on to make this point again. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 27, he's talking about preaching the gospel. He says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Look at chapter 3 and verse 4. When Christ, who is our life, he's our life. What we think, what we say, and how we act, Christ is our life. Look at chapter 3 and verse 10. Having put on the new man that is being renewed unto the knowledge after the image of him, Christ, that created him. Verse 15, let the peace of Christ rule or arbitrate in your hearts. It's all about Christ. The first 17 verses of this chapter, it's all about Christ. Setting our minds on Christ and being like Him. He's our life, verse 4. He's not out here on the fringe, something that we do twice on Sunday and once on Wednesday night. He is our life. He defines who we are. Look at verse 5. Here's one of those contrast passages. We're not supposed to be who we want to be, the fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire. What if I just said, well, I've got to be me and I'm a fornicator. I've got to be me. That's who I am. I'm covetous. That's who I am. Look at verse 8. Put all away anger, wrath, malice, railing, shameful speaking. Lie not one to another. Well, that's just who I am. I've got to be me, so I want to be doing those things. No, no. Stop those things. Be like Christ. And then last of all, when I get up each day, I've got to be like the Holy Spirit who is in me. I wish we had time to read much of Romans chapter 8, but we're to be led by the Spirit. When I get up each day, who leads me? Not me, but the Holy Spirit is going to lead me. That needs to be our attitude. You can start back in chapter 8 and verse 4 and begin reading this idea of walking after the Spirit or being led by the Spirit. We'll look just at verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. The Spirit is going to lead me. Not in some mysterious or magical or miraculous kind of way, but as His Word leads me. Not some inner, better felt than told experience, but as I read the Spirit's words, Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Here's another example of this where Paul is trying to get some of the Corinthian brethren to stop going up to the temple of Apollo on top of one of the hills there in Corinth. Stop going up there to the prostitutes. That was common in their day. That was their culture. You could see it right there. There's a bunch of prostitutes up there. And Paul says, your body was not made for fornication. Flee fornication. Don't be like that, verse 18. Know you not that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit which is in you? The Holy Spirit is in me, guiding me. So verse 17 and 18, don't be engaged in fornication. Today it's, well, I've got to be me. I don't want to settle down. And I might fornicate. And that's a better alternative than marriage. I'm not going to settle down. You can't tie me down to one person. I just got to be me. We hear that all the time. Paul says, no. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you. And so He is to dictate us. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 5. We're to be bearing the fruit of the Spirit as the Spirit's words are in us. We're going to be the Christian that we need to be. And so in Galatians chapter 5, we're going to have love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control, because we're letting the Spirit lead us. And we're going to bear the fruit of His Word in our life. They that are of Christ Jesus, Galatians 5:24, have crucified the flesh, not kept it around, with the passions and lusts thereof. Today it's, don't get rid of any lust or passion. Just carry it out in your life and have a good time with it. If we live by the Spirit let us also walk. So the Spirit is going to guide me each day. Back up to verse 19. When we don't follow the words of the Spirit, then what's left? Me doing what I want to do. So verse 19. The works of the flesh. Fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. Somebody might say, well, I've got to be me, so I'm just going to do those things. Idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, wrath, faction, division, parties, envies, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Well, I've got to be me, so I just do those things. No. Paul says you can do those things, but we're not to do those things. The Spirit is to be guiding us and leading us. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 16. Ephesians 3:16. Be strengthened with the power through His Spirit in the inward man. When it comes time for me tomorrow, and even after this service is over, we make decisions for the rest of this day, it's not, I've got to be me. It's, I've got to be what the Holy Spirit wants me to be. And Jesus and God. Because He's in me, strengthening me and guiding me. Look at chapter 5 and verse 18. Here's another example of this. Ephesians 5:18. Be not drunken with wine wherein is riot or excess, where we're out of control, but be filled with the Spirit. I'm not going to put alcohol in me. I'm going to put the Spirit in me. And that's going to lead me to the good and right things that I need to be doing as a Christian. Well, as we close this morning, we see that this put yourself first is all around us. This commercial is one of many examples that we could give. Do you know that the majority of the passages that we looked at this morning were from the pen of the Apostle Paul? Paul embodied the very thing that he told others. Paul removed himself. Somebody says, well, can it really be done? Yes. Somebody says, I don't know if that can be done. Where you get up each day, and the only person that guides me is God, Jesus, or the Holy Spirit. I don't know about that. It can and must be done, and I know that because of the Apostle Paul. He embodied this very thing. He embodied this very thing. Paul said, be an imitator of me as I also am of Christ. Paul said, "It is no longer I that live, but Christ who lives in me," Galatians 2:20. I'm out of the way. Jesus is in the driver's seat. It can be done. Paul said, "I bear branded on my body the marks of Jesus." Jesus controlled him every day, even if that meant suffering and being persecuted for Jesus and even bearing physical marks of that, such as being stoned there in Acts chapter 14. Paul said, "For to me to live is Christ." Paul said, "Christ is magnified in my body," Philippians 1, 20 and 21. Paul said that he wanted to be conformed unto Jesus' death, Philippians 3:10. Yes, it can be done. Let's go out this week and do that very thing. Paul writes in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 2 that in the grievous days that would come, many would be lovers of self. And that's really what we see in our society today. And that's why we're going down the tubes. Just everybody doing what they want to do. We've got to get back to doing self-denial and being each day what God wants us to be in Jesus and the Holy Spirit. If we can help you to do that this morning, we're going to sing a song of encouragement. Step forward, confessing that Jesus is the Christ and being baptized into Christ, and show that it's not about you. It's not about me and what I want. I'm going to give in and let go. And let God take the lead. And that means I'm going to come and be baptized. And as a Christian, if I need to come back in some way, I'm going to let go and let God. He wants me to come back, and I'm going to do that. But this week, let's go out denying ourselves, none of self, and all of Jesus Christ. And when we do that, and we can do that, Paul lets us know that we can, then we'll be pleasing in His sight. Can we assist you to count that cost this morning and become a child of God? If so, why won't you come as we stand and as we sing?